Today on Real Radio.
But this last week, have you had a time of personal worship between you and God? We call ourselves Christians. We love the Lord. We serve. We tithe. We sing. But is that limited to just a brief moment in time during the week? Or are we actually true worshipers of the Lord at all times, as we shall see in a moment?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're looking deeply into chapter 17 and bringing you quite a number of broadcasts taken from the text. And the reason our teacher is so deeply examining this and other related passages is because Babylonianism is alive and well, much more than we realize. Let's continue now with more in this mini-series called Identifying the Road to Babylon. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
How can I be safe and ward off this Babylonianism that creeps in via idols and trinkets and icons and images to worship or to help me be involved in worship? Number one, know the Bible, and then get up from knowing the Bible and walk in the Spirit of God, declaring this, Lord, I want to know you personally. And the Bible says that God is desiring to reveal himself to us if we will just make ourselves available to him. And there's no more wonderful thing than to be experienced personally that intercourse between God and the believer in the area of worship. Do not bat an eye or raise a hand. But this last week, have you had a time of personal worship between you and God? We call ourselves Christians. We love the Lord. We serve. We tithe. We sing. But is that limited to just a brief moment in time during the week? Or are we actually true worshipers of the Lord at all times, as we shall see in a moment? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2. You can jot the verses down. I'll paraphrase it quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9 tells us that we are coming to the Lord as living stones, rejected by men. Have you noticed that? People think we're nuts for worshiping a God that we cannot see. Rejected by men, but chosen by God. Precious. He says, and he goes on to say, that we have become living stones, a spiritual house built together as a holy priesthood, Peter says, that we would offer up spiritual sacrifices that are now acceptable to God. He says, therefore, as also the scriptures tell, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. That's Jesus Christ. As believers, now that we're one with Christ, we are naturally, supernaturally worshipers. Question, is worship a big part of your life? Answer, only you can say. But the equation brings us to this conclusion. How passionate you are about worship displays how mature you are with Christ. You say, well, Jack, I want to argue with you with this. I don't believe that. I sit very stoically in church. I not only raise my hands, I won't even raise my finger. I'm sitting there because I'm very, very serious about the Lord. I am so glad you are. But do you think for a moment that you, by not raising your hands or by you not singing, that you're somehow more spiritual than the person sitting next to you that may be raising their hands or maybe singing, in your opinion, rather loudly? Well, what's with him? That guy must have had too much coffee this morning. He's singing so loud. And what's with his hands up? What's that all about? Don't do that. Don't be like that. Because you know what? It may be, I don't know, it may be to God that you sitting there in your stillness is totally acceptable to him. I don't know if it is or is not. just as well as the guy raising his hands, that may or may not be acceptable to the Lord. I don't know. What is it a matter of, my friend? Anybody want to take a guess? It's the matter of your heart, exactly. Where are you with God? You say, well, you know, I'm sincere about all the gods I worship. My friend, sincerity doesn't count. It's not being sincere. It's having, first of all, the truth of who and what God is. To know Him. When you know Him and know Him more, worship will become a more dynamic part of your life. Oh, yes, it's going to be expressed differently in and through our lives, but worship will become so important. So very important. Number two in our study, second thing. Four things that we need to guard against when worshiping is that is we never want to legalize worship. You say, what do you mean by that, legalize worship? You mean like make it a law? Kind of. We never want to legalize it, meaning this. All right, church, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand on one foot. I want you to raise one hand. I want you to spin around. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. What I'm saying is that I would never want to be guilty of having a liturgical protocol to worship. That's not found in Scripture, anywhere in the Bible. And what I mean by that is there should not be any sort of regulation that dictates your worship. You see, my friend, worship is spontaneous. It is creative. Worship, by very nature, is your moment with God in such a way that it is just like your child. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. I don't care if they're young or old. Raise your hands. There's nothing more precious than your child getting in your lap and saying something that just warms your heart to no end. Or in this modern day, getting text something on your phone from your kid saying, love you. You want to save it. You get a message from your kid out of nowhere. You might be busy with life and the message comes in on the phone. Or you get it in the mail and it just says, I was just thinking about you. Love you, Dad. What do you do with that as a parent? I know what you do with it. You save it. Like I have them in my Bible right here. I use them as bookmarkers. You save it. And the more spontaneous, okay, now hang on. You're going to find out in a second if you're real legalistic about worship. The more spontaneous your child is in expressing their love to you, the more it warms your heart. There's nothing more precious than when your five-year-old boy walks up with a lizard with three legs and he says, I got this for you, Dad, isn't it cool? He's expressing himself, Dad, this is for you. Or when your little daughter brings that mud that's mixed up in water with a daisy floating in it and says, Daddy, I made you coffee. That is precious. You don't say, honey, don't you understand this is mud? What's wrong with you? And this, it's a daisy. You don't do that. The more spontaneous, the more creative, the more blessed you are. Am I saying today, the cool pastor, does that mean, you know, I get up and run from one side of the sanctuary to the other? Not at all. That's insane right now. Right now, the Holy Spirit is instructing us by the teaching of the Word. There is a time to express yourself. Look, personally, for me, most of the time, call me nutty, but you know what? When I mow my lawn, I love mowing my lawn every week. That's my time with God in very unique ways. I'm all over my yard. I'm filthy, stinky, dirty. I've got mud everywhere. I'm fixing sprinkler heads that have been eaten up by the gardener. Me. Trimming things. And you know what? My daughter said just recently, Dad, do you ever talk to your plants? Do you ever pray for them? Yeah. I do pray for my plants and the trees and stuff. Lord bless it. Cause it to look better than my name. I mean, cause it to look. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, look. Kill every gopher in the Lord, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's my time. You might say, well, my time is drive time. It's free. That's awesome. Drive time is a great time. Or whatever it might be. But are you a personal, private worshiper of God? Or have you legalized your worship? You've made it legal to the point where it's got to be this way. Watch out. The Bible warns us in the Old Testament that the children of Israel made worship this way, and it's got to be that way. God has made you and I the most creative things on the planet. And that creativity should be expressed in our worship unto God. And I don't know about you, maybe it's true. If it's you, then it's you. This is how I think. There's times, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I just want to tell God I love him and thank him, and I'm appreciative of this or that, or just for his nature, that I'll just say, God, Lord, oh, you know, you can't say it. There's nothing to say. In English, French, or German, you can't say it. He's too wonderful. It's too grand. And you're just, Lord, worship. See, if you're bound in legalism, you can't do that. If you're bound in a routine of your intercourse with God, and it's God, you know what, this place, God I can't thank him or praise him unless I'm at the church or I'm at the, you know, listen, my friend, wake up. God is alive. And we need to be careful that we do not legalize our worship. Number three, we never want to sterilize our worship. We never want to sterilize our worship. When I say sterilize, this is something that I think may be possible. We can sterilize worship when we confuse things and the order of service, perhaps, with the holiness and the glory of God. See, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, you know what? If I were probably more obedient to God, listen. Oh, you mean you're not? Well, let me share with you what I'm thinking. And you see if you want me to be more obedient to God. There are times when I think we should put all the worship up front before the Bible study. Because quite frankly, that's what I see in the scriptures. They came together, worshiped the Lord, and having worshiped the Lord, they studied the Word of God. The early church did that, you know. They worshiped the Lord, and then they got into the study. Flip-flop that as well. You say, well, that's the way they did it. That's the way I'm going to do it. They also found in history is that they studied the Word of God first and then broke out into worship. They came together with the Word of God open. Listen, Jesus taught them, saying, or Jesus walked into town and gave them this teaching and gave them this illustration, and the people worshiped. You see? No, you better, Pastor, now come on, don't get us all mixed up now, because if you teach before worship, then we're going to miss half the message, because we get there, right? You see? Yes, Pastor, obey the Lord in that. There's only about 50 people who can say that. Because most people come in here, it's only worship. We'll get there right at the last song. According to Malachi, you are robbing God, and he will demand payment someday. Did you know that? It has nothing to do with this beautiful praise group singing for you. It has to do with them worshiping the Lord, and by them worshiping the Lord, they are to lead you into the presence of the Lord. It's all about him. It's all for him. Oh, I like when the choir is up there, and I like when those horns are up there, and I like when that guy's singing this or that guitar is being played that way, and oh, I like. That has nothing to do with you. It's the Lord. He loves it. He said, now, wait a minute, Jack. I thought the guitar and the drums and stuff, I thought all that stuff was for us, because would God even listen to a guitar? My friend, I encourage you, your homework for today is 1 Chronicles chapters 15 and 16. Why? You will see radical worship, man. The singers were singing and they were shouting to the Lord. Can you imagine that? Now, Pastor, don't get out of hand here. You have sterilized worship. You know what? It's got to be this way. Watch out. You're not growing up. You're growing older. Did you hear that? You're growing older. You're not growing up spiritually. If you grow up spiritually, you will become more like a child biblically. But if you grow old in your growing up, you begin to sterilize things. And it has to be cookie cutter worship. Now, to shake all that up, listen to this carefully. We want to never sterilize worship. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, this is radical. Two little verses, but an amazing, amazing story is told. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, listen to this. Then Solomon led the entire assembly of Israel to the hill at Gibeon, where God's tabernacle was located. Okay? This was the tabernacle that Moses, the Lord's servant, had constructed in the wilderness. You all know what I'm talking about? The tabernacle with badger skins, the Ark of the Covenant, remember, was inside. Indiana Jones, Steven Spielberg, Ark of the Covenant was inside this badger skin tent, remember, in the 40 years of wandering. Verse 4, listen to this. But David had already moved the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim to a special tent that he had made in Jerusalem. Did you know that? I said, what? I don't think I've ever read that before. You read it. You just ran over it too fast. Watch this. You have to watch because I can't articulate it correctly. Look, everybody, over here is the tabernacle of Moses. It's what they had in the 40 years of wilderness wanderings in the Sinai. Are you with me? And on the other side of Jordan. It was that fenced area where the priest, Aaron, the laver, ark, the seven lampstand, all that stuff was going on. Remember, and when God said move, they would pack it up and move with it, right? And they would pitch it again. Okay, that's in Chronicles, that's still in existence. Imagine that. In David's day, they could have touched the fence, they could have seen the very worship system that God had Moses create. Are you with me? That's over here on your left side of the sanctuary. On the right side of the sanctuary is the construction site of Solomon's temple. Are you with me now? You got that going on in your head? On the hill at Gibeon, the Old Testament dwelling place, Moses' tabernacle. On the other side, they're building Solomon's temple. Okay? In the middle, you've got this guy by the name of David. Anybody need instruction on King David? The psalm writer. What a man of God. I love this guy. So do you. It's funny. All the girls love David. And all the guys love David. You want to know why? David was a man's man. That's why today the women say, oh, I just love him. He's so great. The things, oh, when I read those psalms, how? I mean, there's not a woman born that can express herself like that guy could express himself. And then the guys look at the psalms and say, a chick must have wrote this. It's so fluffy and so, man, this guy's like really in touch with his feminine side. They would accuse David of. But then David would set down, you know, he would set down his pen. Lord, and he writes this incredible thing, my heart pants after you, Lord, like the deer pants after the water brooks. And then he hears a rustling in the bushes. What's that? Whoosh! Wham! Whew! Man, a Philistine almost killed me. Next line, and Lord, you have been my defense in time of need. Amen! That's David. It's like all the guys going, yeah, what a guy! And all the girls are going, as my heart pants at the water brooks. This is David. You got the Old Testament tabernacle that was in the wilderness with no ark in it, no Ark of the Covenant in it. You've got a temple of Solomon being built with nothing going on. David has the Ark of the Covenant in a little tent. He made his own little tabernacle near Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, and he's worshiping the Lord. The whole nation is all over there in the old system that's now been sterilized because of sin. They've departed from God. The new stuff's not built yet, so that's in waiting, in limbo. David says, you guys go do what you're going to do. I'm going to worship the Lord. And David pitches a little tent. You know what? Isn't that precious, don't you think? It doesn't take an Einstein to say, man, I ought to learn how to pitch a tent. I ought to establish my own form of worship with the Lord. Don't save your act of worship and your art of worship just for the sanctuary here together. Go home and do it. Walk along the beach, climb a mountain, go snow skiing, go surfing, take a drive, mow your lawn. Worship Him and take a tent. And listen, you literally will be able to experience something that the ancients longed for. And that is, you could pitch your own little tent, as it were, of worship. It could even look like your car. And as you're seated there, be worshiping and praising the God of heaven and earth, who according to the Bible dwells in you now that you're a Christian. And you can have what the ancients longed for. The Bible says that when God moved into that temple, by the way, for the first time, and when God moved into that tent, remember, for the first time, that the glory of God so filled the presence over the Ark of the Covenant that the priest had to discontinue their working because God had entered in. And if God enters into your life and my life personally in a relationship with Jesus Christ based upon the Word of God, I enter into my rest. Why? Because the Lord is now resting in my life. The Lord has saved me upon His cross 2,000 years ago. I walk in forgiveness. I'm praising the Lord. I'm rejoicing. I don't have to go to a temple and sacrifice an animal. Oy vey. Are you going through your Bible reading this week? Huh? Are you going through the Bible with us every day? Have you had enough blood by now, huh? You say, well, Pastor, I was going to ask you about that after service. What's with all the blood? Every time somebody sinned. Okay, now go get a goat. Oh, brother, and you got it. And there's the blood of the innocent, and it's so sad. And oh, and then you walk down the street and you sin again. You got to buy it. You got to get a turtle dove and go back, and here you go. Can you imagine? Look, people, you want to have one, just one reason to worship? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was offered up once and for all for our sins. You know what that means? Did you blow it today? Get in the car. Come on, we're going to church. You know, we're going to be late. Oh, sure. The guy with the Christian sticker cuts me off. So you come into the building. All right, let's worship. Do you know that in the Old Testament time, before Jesus had come, your hands would have been so covered in blood, having to make sacrifices to cover all that stuff? How'd you get anywhere?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Identifying the Road to Babylon, taken from Revelation 17. Now again, this series is among the more in-depth of the studies you hear on Real Radio, so if you'd like to hear it again and again, it's simple. Just visit www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. In fact, you've probably thought of that friend or family member that really needs to hear this presentation. Well, however you'd like to do it, the place to go is realradioactive.org. Each edition of Real Radio is available online. There's no charge, by the way, which is the same for our podcast subscription as well. RealRadioactive.org. If you'd like to write us and share your thoughts or make a tax-deductible donation to our radio fund, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917- 09. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or call us at area code 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And of course, all of our contact information is at www.realradioactive.org. RealRadioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.